This is John from MOMB Comics. I'm with Jeremy Whitley and Jason Strutz, both of whom work for Fire Tower Comics, and we'll be talking about their book, The Order of Dagonet, as well as Jeremy's other new release, Princeless, which is for Action Lab Comics. So, what do you want to start with, Princeless or Dagonet?
Well, Dagonet came first, I guess.
Okay, we can start with that. You're setting up to release the first trade of Dagonet, is it? The first four issues?
Actually, we just released that yesterday, so it's available on our website, firetowerstudios.com, and we're also available on Amazon, where we'd like you to leave reviews if you've read it before.
Oh, okay. I might actually go and leave a review of that, because I've written quite a lot of reviews of it. Can you tell me, how did the idea for Dagonet come about?
You can go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay. The idea for the Order of Dagonet was sort of a slow, strange, and gradual process of, Jason and I happened to meet sort of, through our buddy Charlie, who I was working on a project with, and Jason was actually sort of in an artist meetup group with. And we had started talking about various different ideas we had for books, and Jason actually had a picture of Titania and Bottom from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it was a really interesting picture, and I remember thinking, wow, that would be interesting to go in sort of this idea I had to take current British knights who are all celebrities who are in no way useful in a knightly sense, and to put them up against a real sort of mystical creature, like the type that, knights of lore have fought, and sort of became a crossover. We, added those knights with the Midsummer Night's Dream characters, and I sort of did a rough of the script and just threw it in front of Jason. He was like, man, I'd like to give this a shot. So 2 years later, we're almost six issues in. So
I was going to say, sorry, what was that, Jason?
The Titania and Bottom picture I'd made was for a conceptart.org weekly contest. And actually didn't do very well in the contest, but now it has new life.
I think that's the artwork for Dagonet was one of the big draws for me in the beginning. It's a very sort of, it certainly stands out as a unique sort of type of artwork. It's very, very colourful, and it's very bright and eye-catching. And actually, whose idea was the BBC tower that pops up at the beginning of every issue?
I suppose that I have to take credit for that one, I guess. Would you agree, Jeremy?
Yeah, I had written in that there was sort of a BBC broadcast going on at the beginning, and in my head it was just, there would be a series of just radios in different places. But yeah, Jason read it and came up with the idea of the radio tower, and I loved it. So we just went with it.
I thought it was just a way to do like your old newscasts where they'd have the radio tower and the radiating circles coming out of it. And so then that's why I did the circular panels. And that way you could tell this was a broadcast, and it was just kind of showing you, bouncing around to various stories. So that was just my kind of visual representation of how to do sort of a montage of where we were in the story at the beginning of most of the issues. So you can get a idea of the bigger world, and then we move on to, dealing with individual people and moving them into place and everything.
Would you say that the characters in Dagonet, the knights in particular, I mean, they seem to be based on effective, I mean, one of them is sort of looks like Ozzy Osbourne and actually talks a lot like him. And I'm guessing we've also got J.K. Rowling and Elton John. But I think one of the characters that actually appeals to me most out of it is Laverne, who's been sort of following the writer on his journey back over to the UK, and just her perspective on things is really sort of, it's an interesting take. And is she actually, like, are any of the characters based on people you know? And if so, how do they feel about actually being in this book?
Laverne is sort of a mishmash of people I know. Not any one person in particular, but the city she's from, which is supposed to be Hickory, North Carolina, is right outside of where my parents live. There's sort of this huge, grand-looking Barnes & Noble that they built out there, which is, you know, basically in the middle of a chain of, like, fast food restaurants. They actually have lots of, like, literary guests come through there. And I could imagine somebody that, you know, lived in Hickory, where it's not a particularly upscale kind of town, just getting kind of swept up in this mystical adventure.
And I think it's useful to have, you know, that character who is not, you know, that involved, and be able to comment on what's, you know, the ridiculousness of what's actually going on.
I think, yeah, there's, I think it's in particular, there's a scene in what was the most recent issue of, it was a conversation between her and Merlin, and I just thought that was a wonderfully sort of paced out scene, and it was just some of the responses between the two of them, and the way you actually managed to capture the sort of the age-old attitude of Merlin compared to the sort of more modern attitude of Laverne was just, it was a very nice moment in the book. How many issues do you see Dagonet going for, can I ask?
Our ideal is to go somewhere around 15. It's going to depend, you know, when we get there, exactly how we feel about ending it. If we, you know, just hit a good spot at 15, which is what kind of where I'm aiming for right now. Although my writing tends to not always go to plan. About, you know, in the 13 to 15 range is where we're looking at, with hopefully the ability to expand it later on if we want to. So I have sort of an idea for a second storyline.
Oh, no. I just want to keep reading it for as long as it goes, really. It's one of the things that is actually very good about it is that you've managed to capture a very British sensibility, which is something that I think a lot of people think Americans don't get the British sense of humour, but you two very clearly do. And that's one of the things that's made the book so enjoyable for me, is this, obviously something you've had from sort of past experience, or is it, what sort of things influenced that sense of humour, if I can ask?
You want to go first?
I'm trying to think of, I guess my inspirations for some of the art, at least for the style, does come a lot from like European sci-fi comics, heavy metal stuff, Mobius. They have stuff set in the far future, but it's colorful. It's interesting. It's not all gray or brown or, you know, alien looking stuff. It's a little more interesting to look at. A little bit of bringing that into sort of a fantasy realm where, you know, I love Lord of the Rings and realistic, fantasy stuff, but you know, it tends to be very brown. So I wanted to, you know, have some color in it. And a lot of that also comes from, you know, that initial design of Titania with her head, the leaves that go in my head are continually going from a green living and flowing up into fall colors and then kind of drifting off. So that really started a lot of the color stuff. So at first I was just experimenting on how to color a comic, and I knew that I wanted to do it, in sort of a traditional way, as far as not going to the computer to do vector coloring and stuff like that. So I really like to see people's process in paintings that I like and stuff. So this is where some of the color stuff comes from. As far as the humor, I don't know, I'm not a particular fan of British humor, but I'm not a particular fan of British humor. I'm not continually just watching that, I guess. Watching Terry Gilliam movies and stuff like that, Monty Python. I pretty much like everything. And I suppose it's more playing it somewhat serious rather than wacky. It might be what brings it some of that more English flavor, I guess. So when people say goofy things, I have them react in a somewhat normal way to it. What do you think, Jeremy?
I'm always really glad, especially to hear and read John say that it reads very British, because that was a big concern when I started it off. Is I know a lot of people, that I've read or that I've seen, that they start off doing a British story and it's all pip pip cheerio, and it really takes you out of it. But I think my biggest influence as far as that goes is that my mom's father is British, and he's not just a little British. He's really British. He was a bomber in the Battle of Britain in World War II, which he'd be glad to tell you about. But he has, growing up, I often had issues with him because it's not necessarily mean-spirited, but this very stereotypically British sensibility of hating everybody else. Because, I know a lot of American people would not know the difference between a Scottish, British, and Welsh person if they were to meet them all together. When he learned I was going to Ireland to study abroad, he was at first very excited and then almost instantly very upset, because he hates Irish people. He hates Scottish people. Oh, my grandmother was Welsh. He hates Welsh people. So it's almost to a ridiculous extent. He sort of... there weren't very many shows that he would let me watch when I was at his house, but his one big show that he was very much into was Fawlty Towers. So I think I picked up a bit of that early on, and I've always been a fan of, Monty Python and a lot more humor, I guess, than a lot of American people tend to get.
I think 40 Towers more times than I can count, mainly because my history teacher at school used to make us watch it every year at the end of term, just because he didn't have anything more to teach us, so we would just sit and watch 40 Towers, and it's a classic piece of British comedy. It's absolutely wonderful, and so I think if you're going to have that as a major influence, then you're definitely working on the right lines. Are you both lifelong comic book fans?
Let's see. My dad was a huge comic book fan. It kind of got me started young. And, for a lot of my early life, we lived in California, sort of a big city, so we were close to comic book stores. And then, when we moved to North Carolina, there weren't any nearby us. So I kind of lost it, and then when I went to college in Chapel Hill, there was one literally down the street that I just kind of stumbled upon, and as those things tend to do, it went from something where I picked up a couple of trades of Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men to something that was like almost instantly a $50 a week comic book habit. So.
I know that feeling, and yeah, the Joss Whedon Astonishing X-Men is a particular favorite of mine. I think that's one of the, it's probably my favorite X-Men story. I mean, what other sort of books do you enjoy reading other than the X-Men? Is it all sort of mainly tights and flight stuff, or do you enjoy sort of other more obscure stories as well?
I'm into sort of a variety of stuff. I generally tend to stay more on the action side of things. I usually go for Image or Vertigo or Dark Horse, if not, you know, Marvel or DC. But I do really enjoy a lot of the creator-owned stuff, like really into Brian Wood's DMZ. I really love just about everything Neil Gaiman's ever written. See, what am I working on right now? Jason Aaron's Scalp. I'm finally getting around to reading Ellis's Transmet, which I have only read the first trade of at this point, and I've had nothing but love told to me about it.
Oh, Transmet gets good. It gets very, very good.
Yeah. I'm excited about it because I first started reading it and I was like, oh, it's kind of, I don't know, a fear and loathing in a strange distant future. And then the more I got into it, the more I was like, okay, he's kind of getting into his stride and leaving most of the Hunter S. Thompson behind.
What about you, Jason? What sort of stuff do you enjoy reading?
Well, I started out, you know, young. And I was doing X-Men, Spider-Man, stuff like that. And then I just became too poor in my teenage years when they started doing the Age of Apocalypse X-Men story. And you had to buy about 20 issues to figure out what was going on. So that kicked me out of comics for years other than graphic novels and stuff. And I was just getting, you know, independent stories or self-contained stories. After the whole continuity burn on that, and so I mostly get stuff from the library, and then it mostly came back when I was teaching my then girlfriend, now wife, you know, how to read comics, and you know, what would be a good comic to read. So I had her Sandman and stuff like that. So then, you know, I just started discovering more things about what was going on, and this was probably, you know, maybe 10 years ago that I started getting more comics. So I usually, I don't actually read anything monthly, but we followed the whole run of Why the Last Man, and we're, you know, up to date on Fables at the moment, and Jack of Fables. And so I mostly read the graphic novels, and actually these days I don't really read much at all because I have no time.
I think the advantage of graphic novels is certainly that they actually take up a lot less space. I've got a wardrobe that's just full of comics, and
yep.
I keep intending to buy less and start buying more trades, but it never happens. So I was just thinking, I'll give it till the end of this run, or I'll give it till the end of this series. And like yourselves, I'm reading a lot of Scalped and DMZ, and sort of the stuff you've mentioned is all stuff I've read, and it's all stuff that I know I've really enjoyed. So you two obviously write your own titles at the moment, but if you had the opportunity to write for any characters, who would it be?
Ooh, that's a difficult question, because I always want to go my two directions. Either I think, oh man, I'd love to write something about this character. Like everybody kind of, I think everybody somewhere deep in their head has a Wolverine story they want to do. It's just like, I'd love to write a story where somebody just kills people for like 60 pages. It'd be great. But then you also, you know, I have a lot of characters who have been favorites of mine who I feel like have been ill used, like Iron Fist was so good when Matt Fraction was writing it, and then they just stopped making it, sort of arbitrarily. I'm a big fan of pretty much all Heroes for Hire gang. I like Luke Cage, I really like Misty Knight. And then some sort of the mid-tier X-Men characters who've been sort of kicked to the side. Like, I've always been a big fan of Storm as a character. I don't ever think there's been a single story about Storm that I actually thought was done well. There was a lot of stuff sort of in the, I guess, in the Claremont days where Storm, you know, stepped up and took over a lot of what was going on from Scott. That I was like, all right, you know, this character's coming up. But then they randomly sort of married her to Black Panther, them being two of the only Black characters in the Marvel Universe, I guess. And yeah, I really like to write a good Storm story, I think.
Nice choice. I think it's certainly a character that's been underused.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Well, I would definitely work on that Misty Knight book with you, Jeremy. yeah, and I mean, I guess I would like to work on some like self-contained stuff, I guess, for say Wolverine and Spider-Man, some stuff that I you know first read. You know, could be interesting as characters or doing some interesting art for. But I think in general, I'd like to work on more original stories and books like that. And as Jeremy can tell you, that I'm always coming up with either ideas, whether they are horrible or not. So we've got a list of things to do, and it's just finding enough money that I can just work on those all day. So I'd rather be making, you know, my own name, I guess, rather than working on a lot of established characters. But I certainly would not turn down the opportunity to work on, you know, the big people.
Jeremy, do you mind if I ask you about Prince List for a bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. So basically, sell me Prince List, even though you don't have to because I've read it, but.
Princeless is a book about a princess who's locked away in a tower by her evil parents. And rather than waiting around to be saved, she decides to save herself. So she escapes her tower, recruits her guardian dragon, and basically decides to not only save herself, but to go ahead and save her sisters as well, who are similarly locked up. And the basic idea and it's about saving yourself. It's about going out there and doing something, you know, amazing instead of just waiting around.
How did the idea for the book come about?
The book was sort of an idea I had. I was working on for a while. And ended up putting together a first issue with a friend of ours, and it didn't really go very far. He was not happy about the idea, not making money from it right away. He has a pretty relatively successful art career on his own. So I kind of jumped in. It was funny that I happened to just run into some guys that we were next to at HeroesCon, a guy named Dave Dwanch, who was putting together Action Lab Studios with some friends of his, and I talked to him about it. We'd done sort of the ritual comic book swap you do after every sitting next to somebody for 3 days, and you know, I got some of his stuff, he got some of my stuff, and you know, he put me email later on. It was like, yeah, I really like this pencil stuff. I wish it was something I had the chance to work on because it's really enjoyable. And I was like, well, that's fine. You do have the chance to work on it. Not got an artist, and I'd like to actually take it somewhere. So he pulled me into Action Lab. He said, you know, I want to work on it myself, but I'd rather find somebody who I think will do a better job at it. He's a good artist. He's fantastic. But he hooked me up with Mia Goodwin, who did the art for the book. And she is fantastic.
Oh, I think the art's been something wonderful that it just improved having seen the original version of the book and now seeing this one. It's just a really great fit for the story. And it also seems to fit quite well with the whole sort of Action Lab ethos and what they're building up with the Globworld licenses as well. Is that something that you're going to be involved in, or
at the moment? It is, actually. Both Jason and I, as it turns out, are going to be involved in Globworld. It was something that I was working on, Princeless. Dave is my creative director on that. And he said, look, we've got this license we're looking at, and they want to do some books with us. Is this something you'd be interested in doing? I said, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do it. It's my first contract job I've ever had where I'm actually, you know, being paid by the page and not writing about something I just came up with myself. It is sort of strangely freeing to he tells you, these are the characters, now do something with them. And I actually worked with and the other writer on the book, which will be Kevin Freeman, who writes the Subculture web strips. We sort of worked together to come up with the story, has to buy the Globworld guys, got some of their back on. And actually, on board. He's going to be doing at least the art for first issue he'll be doing with Kevin. And I'll be doing the zero issue with Andrew Char. And then I've also got two more issues later in the series I'm doing.
I'm actually penciling the last page as we speak here. I'm doing pencils and inks on that first issue. And colors will be done by Dave Dwanch of Action Lab.
I was going to say, what sort of things are you both going to be doing in the future then? Have you got anything like coming up or?
Well, for right now, we have a year-long 4-installment comic in a speculative fiction magazine called Bull Spec. And they have a website, bullspec.com, BULLSPEC. And so we have a 4-page installments over the next 4 issues. It's a quarterly magazine that Jeremy wrote and I did the art for. Sci-fi, future setting, future war comic, which is shaping up to be pretty interesting. So we're halfway done with that right now. And that second installment just came out yesterday, actually. And they have digital downloads on their website, too. We've got this Globworld thing that I'm working on. We also have a new make-your-own comic in which we have blank panels. We have a story written by Jeremy with blanks, so sort of a Mad Libs plus drawing each of the panels. And we have a previous one out, a superhero theme one, and this one's going to be a sci-fi theme.
Oh.
So that'll probably be our next release. And I've got about halfway done on the next issue of The Order of Dagonet. And hopefully some more good stuff. We're also looking to revamp the Fire Tower Studios website to include some web comics from Jeremy and I and some other contributors to have an online presence with some online stuff you can read every week. Me and Jeremy have a Dagonet related comic which some installments ended up in the back of the past couple issues.
Yep, I remember those.
Starring the two of the fairy sisters. So we've got that planned out, and hopefully some other small stuff will be coming from Jeremy and I on that, as well as other titles. We're also looking to start doing releasing pages of, starting with the first issue of Dagonet, releasing some of those to get some people, more people to be able to read it.
Excellent. Well, from the sounds of it, Jeremy, you won't actually have time to sleep anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't not really much into sleeping. Either I'm working on something or working on the baby, sometimes both at the same time. One thing I've found about a newborn is it makes it hard to type and hold baby at the same time. It's sort of a difficult thing to do. I've got to learn some other way to write. As far as the web comics, Jake and I will be coming out, as well as a couple of our other buddies at Inspired Tower. We should have hopefully four maybe strips going a week there, each with sort of their own continuity, their own story going on. Not to mention, Jake and I both worked on a book which is getting ready to come out from Library of the Living Dead Press called No More Heroes, sort of a kind of short story centered around these superheroes in this sort of post-apocalyptic setting.
Awesome.
And I cover art for that.
Excellent.
Well,
So we've got The Order of Dagonet Trade is out now via Amazon.com and through the Fire Tower website, which
yes,
is.
we make more through the Fire Tower website, so keep that in mind. But we are on Amazon, and we definitely would appreciate some reviews and stuff on there.
Okay. I think that's pretty much it for the interview. Is there anything either of you would like to add?
Princess is in preview starting the first week of August, so you can start hassling your comic book guy about ordering it. And then it'll be first issue will be out in October, and it's set to be a 4-issue mini series, which should end in January, and then that'll be the first mini series in a series of mini series.
And if to sh save on shipping, we also have digital editions of Dagonet on our website, non-protected PDFs, so you could do whatever you want with them. And that could be useful for people on your side of the pond. And yeah, I think that about covers it.
Excellent. Well,
Well,
thank
thank
you both
you.
very much for your time, and I'm hoping that your names will be heard a lot more over the coming months, because I think it's well deserved in both Princeless and Dagonet are very
Sorry.
enjoyable books, and I can't wait to read more of them.
Well,
Thank
thank
you,
you very
Jeremy.
much
Look forward to
for
getting more out
being
there.
a fan and for letting us know that not all British people hate us for doing this.
No, we're British people that like everyone. We like to think we're bucking the trend.
Yay!
Excellent. Well, thank you
Thank
very much, guys. And I shall bid you both goodbye.
you. Have a good day.